Many, again, we like to think that perhaps the Roman Catholic Church was monolithic until the time of Luther and the Reformation. Well, that never was true. There always were conflicting groups and ideas within the church. And during this period of time, the arguments in philosophy were the arguments of the church. There were conflicting ideas within Islam, as I've discussed with you, and as we see today, Sunni, Shiite, etc. And you have to have different philosophies for them. But the common denominator in all of these philosophies was that somehow they fitted into the Aristotelian scheme of the world. They were based upon Aristotelian principles of philosophy. And since in the medieval world, Aristotle was right, if anything was right, Aristotle was right. So in order for you to be relevant and correct, you had to conform your ideas to the system of Aristotle. You have to at least be able to explain it through Aristotelian notions. And this spilled over into the Jewish world as well. It will culminate in the great book of Maimonides of the Rambam, the Morin Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, which is Lahavdil, but it is for Judaism what Aquinas was for Christianity and what Averroes was for Islam. In fact, an understanding of Aristotelian philosophy in many higher schools of philosophy is based upon the reading of the three books together. Because all three focus in on the same philosophic principles, it's just seen from three different angles, coming to explain what is really not explicable, what cannot be explained. That's the basic problem of philosophy. I always tell my bad joke about philosophy. It doesn't get better when I repeat it, but the great philosopher and guru, savant, he lay dying, and as he was leaving the world, so his disciple bent over and he said, "Great master, before you leave the world," he said, what are your final words of wisdom? How shall we live?" And the man with his last breath almost, so he said to him, "Life is a river." So the disciple turned to the next disciple. He said, "The master said, life is a river." And it goes, everybody said, "Oh, the master said," it goes all the way down out of the room where all the disciples are gathered. And finally, outside, there's one little guy, he says, "What does he mean, life is a river?" So the question comes back, what does he mean, life is a river? And finally, the guy bends over, the chief disciple bends over, the great philosopher, and he says to him, "Master, before you leave, please tell us, what do you mean, life is a river?" So he says, "So it's not a river." That's philosophy. Overgeneralized, but that's really philosophy, at least the way Western world looks at it today. So life is not a river, right? But in the medieval world, you couldn't tell that joke, even in Latin. You just couldn't tell it. It wasn't funny. It didn't reflect the true relationship to life. The true relationship to life is that it had to make sense, and it had to make sense within certain principles. Now we'll see that the Ashkenazic Jews came to a very easy solution of the matter. They said life makes sense within the principles of Torah and Halacha, and that's it. And what we don't understand, we don't understand, and we're not going to try to explain it. In Yiddish we have a famous phrase, from Akasha starbt man it. Nobody ever died because he had a question, right? Doesn't kill you, right? So you got a question. The Ashkenazim said, the Gemara itself at the end says, Kasha, they didn't come out even. So it didn't come out even. That's it. What can you do? We're man, we're finite, we're limited. You want to understand? Not this time around. That basically is the Ashkenazic response. Now, you can understand that in a world of intellectual ferment, when every other religion is trying to make sense and where philosophy is very important, that kind of an answer will be